What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Tuesday to you. We have got a lot of show on this Tuesday. It's Podcast Tuesday. I've got a cracking show for you today and a lot more. Let's get at it. I'd love to hear from you. Lots of basketball today and some football and baseball. In fact, I got you covered. 1-800-636-8686. By now, you probably know the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The show sets up like this. I've got an open. In that open, I want to talk about Golden State and the LA Clippers. Next segment, a former 10-year NBA vet, Ryan Hollins, will join us. He was there for that game last night, so he'll break it down too. And we'll talk NBA playoffs with Ryan Hollins. In hour number two, a defensive tackle from Miami, an NFL draft prospect, Gerald Willis. Also in hour number two, the new head basketball coach at UCLA, Mick Cronin. Third hour is open. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Email me to Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. If you want to double back to yesterday and you still want to hit on the Masters and Tiger Woods, I'm here for that. I'm open to it. But I want to start with the NBA. In fact, I want to start by asking you, how was your night? What did you do last night? How was your night? Because the Golden State Warriors night was pretty horrible. They lost to Marcus Cousins to a leg injury. He might be out the rest of the year. They lost a 31-point second half lead. Then they lost game two of their series against the LA Clippers, 135-131. In other words, that's a hell of a lot of bad for one night. And of course, on top of that, everybody's going to come flying in today with a hell of a lot of bad takes, hot takes. Everybody's going to be running in with a giant sledgehammer to hammer that clown-sized panic button. So let me be the one to stop this before it starts. Yes, Golden State blew a 31-point lead with less than 20 minutes to go in the game. Yes, they allowed 85 points in the second half. And you can point to a dozen different reasons as to why that went down. They lost to Marcus Cousins. Steph Curry got into foul trouble and went from red hot before to ice cold after he came back in. Kevin Durant had 8 official shots. More importantly, 9 official turnovers. I mean, I can go on, but it's not really worth it. Yes, blowing a 31-point lead in less than 20 minutes at home in a playoff game is an epic collapse. But it does not mean that they're in trouble. Does not mean they're in trouble in that series. And no, last night had nothing to do with DeMarcus Cousins going down. He went down early in the game, and then Golden State built that lead after he went down. So if they were rattled by losing him, they picked a weird way of showing it. By going from down 31 at the time of the injury to up 31 with 7:31 to go in the third. And no, the Warriors did not get exposed last night. Not for anything that we didn't already know about these guys. Like, what did you learn last night? That they've got a habit of switching off at times? That they stop playing sometimes? That they sometimes coast and do it at really bad times? That the chemistry of this team is not as great as it's been in years past? That defensive intensity is an issue? I mean, hell, tell me something I didn't already know. We knew all of this already. I already knew. Hell, tell Steve Kerr something he didn't already know, because nobody knows that team better than Steve Kerr does. He said, quote, "It doesn't feel strange to me. No. At this stage, nothing surprises me that happens with our team and where we are. I was very concerned coming into this game, and in some ways, we had this coming. And we'll see if we can actually respond to it and do something good with it," end quote. Again, everything we saw last night, we have seen before. We knew all of this about Golden State. Just like we've known, they're human. And being human, they probably figured, up 31, with under 20 minutes to go at home, the game was over. Because it was. A billion times out of a billion, that game is over. Which is exactly why last night is more about the Clippers than it is Golden State. Give the Clippers some bleeping credit. I mean, for real.
Credit. I mean, for real.
Down 31 on the road. in the second half against a team that's won the last two titles, three of the last four, that's the time that everybody else would pack it in, shut it down, go home, ice up, get some ibuprofen. You know, prepare for the flight back. Start looking at tee times. Pretty much anybody except these Clippers. Now, when they fall behind 31, that's when they dial in. Man, they're gritty as hell. They don't care if they're down 30 or if they're up 30. You think a team with Pat Beverly is going to just shut it down? Hell no. Pat Beverly fouled out, but he went down swinging like he always does. And he eventually took Kevin Durant with him. And know this, he's not there to agitate people like everybody seems to think, like everybody says, myself included. No, Pat Beverly says, I'm doing work. I'm here to do a job. It's a job I like a lot, and it's a job that I care a hell of a lot about.
I can't help people get irritated by me. It's not my fault. I go out there, I try to be the best defender on the planet. Consistently, in and out, day and out. I take my role, take my job very seriously. And I do it for my teammates. You know, I understand my role. And I understand how to get stops. And, you know, KD's not easy cover, but it's fun out there for sure.
Man, it is fun out there. It's fun out here watching him out there. Hell of a lot of fun. This is why I said yesterday that matchup is one of my favorite matchups in a long time. Because Beverly does not care. He's looking to be the best defender on the bleeping planet. You think that changes whether he's up 30 or down 30? Hell no. He probably didn't even know the score. You think Lou Williams is going to stop taking shots? He went 11 for 17, 26 points, 7 assists in the final 20 minutes. 26 and 7 is a great game. He did it in a quarter and a half. How about some love for Montrezl Harrell? All he did was go 5 for 5 for 17 points in the final 20 minutes. Maybe some love for Doc Rivers, who has reminded everybody just how damn good of a coach he is. He stayed on it with this team in the second half of the season and in the second half last night. It's all about their identity. Doc said, quote, every time out, it's just who we are. Be us. We said it. Let's be us. Don't change. Keep playing the way we play. End quote. About my man, Landry Shamet, doing this.
From 31 down, keeping going left. Gilgeous Alexander, kick out to Shamet for three. He got it! Landry Shamet hits a three. And from 31 down to up two, inside 16 seconds.
My man, that's a rookie going assassin in the final seconds of a game against the three-time champs in their house. The Clippers were a team that was supposed to wave the white flag after the Tobias Harris trade, right? The season ended that night, except it didn't because they got a hell of a lot of heart. They've got a hell of a lot of grit. I'm going to say they've got a hell of a lot more grit than those Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan teams had. I'm not saying they're better. I'm saying they're a hell of a lot tougher. And they've got much better chemistry than those teams had. Not only did they do the work in the second half, they didn't party like they did anything after the game. Pat Beverly throwing around weights while doing wall sits. Lou Williams getting ice, eating nachos, and checking Twitter. These pictures are incredible. If you haven't seen them, go to the Clippers Twitter feed. You got to check it out because it shows you how unimpressed the Clippers players were with what they did. Now, don't get it twisted, and don't get me wrong. Golden State is going to win this series. They will bounce back. Andrew Bogut summed up the mood best in that Golden State locker room.
The mood's you know, and that's actually a positive sign in my opinion. You know, it wasn't, you know, somewhere we're like, oh, we'll get him next time. You know, we're genuinely pissed off about it.
Right, mate? They're generally pissed off about it. So the problem for Golden State is that instead of wrapping it up and resting up, they're going to have to play at least 48 more minutes. And they'll most likely have to do it without DeMarcus Cousins. And playing at least one more game and doing it without Cousins means more minutes for everybody. Because any minutes against these Clippers are going to be a battle. They'll get through the round. They're still the team to beat. But they just made it a hell of a lot tougher on themselves. Tougher than it had to be. Then again, when you consider who these two teams are, that should not surprise anybody at all. It's just what they do. Both of them. Just be sure to give the Clippers some bleeping credit. For real.
Give them some credit. I mean, for real.
Big fat block on that game. Down 31 on the road. They don't give up. Says more about the Clippers than the Warriors. And in fact, does not say anything about Golden State that we didn't already know. 1-800-636-8686. Keeping it in Los Angeles for a moment. Yesterday, not just any old day at Dodger Stadium. Clayton Kershaw was back on the bump. Matt Kemp, Alex Wood, Kyle Farmer back in town. And more importantly, so was Yasiel Puig. Puig, gonna Puig, and he did. Before the game and at the start of the game. I'll have a recap of that. Another thought about the NBA playoffs. The Sixers had a really bad opening game in their series against the Nets, and they bounced back in a big way. Joel Embiid coming up big. But he wasn't the MVP last night. Nope, it was none other than Kevin Harlan, who was doing his thing. I'm bouncing around. Basketball, baseball, basketball, back to baseball. You check out Christian Yelich's act yesterday. Somebody's got to pull this guy off of the Cardinals. Also, it seemed like an interesting move, but remember when Russ Wilson dropped a deadline on the Seahawks, said, sign me to a new deal by this day being yesterday, or you can forget about it. They got it done. They got it done. Russ got paid. Biggest contract there is. He earned it. It was his turn. It was his time. I'm fine with it. And then he got a little cringy with it with his gal in bed and pushed that out on social. Look, I understand that some of these quarterbacks are a little bit different. He's not the only one. Different's good. If you want to translate different into weird, I'd say weird is good. Some of these guys are a little bit different. That was a little bit different and more than a little cringy. So two aspects to that. The football aspect where absolutely you have to take care of this guy and they did the right thing. And then the celebratory aspect of that. Him and his lady in bed saying goodnight to everybody. Little cringy. Even for Russ. But he deserved that contract. First email of the day. Got to start you with a lady clone. Hi, Jim. You want to know how my night was? But I did start the show. She's right. I did say, how was your night? Golden State had a pretty horrible night. How was your night? Hi, Jim. You want to know how my night was? Well, I watched my beloved Calgary Flames, who finished first in the Western Conference, second overall in the NHL, lose on the road to the Avalanche. The only thing that made my night a little bit better was that epic collapse by Golden State. Damn, that was delicious. War the Calgary Flames, getting some jungle karma. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
Not only a Lady Clone, but a Lady Canadian Clone. Bella B. in Calgary. Oh, Bella, you. That rhymes. And finally, Rome. Congrats to the Clippers on their come-from-behind playoff win. Congrats to Steve Ballmer for apparently winning his first NBA championship. On War Hawk, acting like Ballmer while watching Tiger win the Masters on Sunday. Gleason from C-Town. When we come back, Ryan Hollins is an NBA analyst. In fact, he's on the Clippers. He's on that beat, part of their broadcast team, and he was there last night. We'll break down with him. Some folks like to shop in a store. We know this. Others prefer to do their shopping online. No matter how you like to do yours, when it comes to auto parts, shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They have everything you need under one roof, virtual or otherwise, from batteries, brakes, and belts, to filters, transmissions, ignitions, and shocks. O'Reilly has everything you need. They even have a full range of farm and agriculture heavy-duty parts, tools, and supplies. Thousands of parts and accessories in stock with brands that you know you can trust, like Wagner Brakes, Monroe Shocks, Superstar Batteries, Wix Filters, and more. They can even get those hard-to-find parts, mostly with free overnight delivery, or you can shop online with free pickup in-store. Car lovers love to shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts, and now you can earn O Rewards points online and at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. In fact, you can earn points any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. So visit orewards.com, become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. Again, orewards.com in order to become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Any idea who that is or where that came from? I'll give you a hint. It's Dirty Honey, and Joey Vendetta passed it along. So if you guessed Dirty Honey and that it came from Joey Vendetta, you win. What's up, Joe? How you living, kid? 1-800-636-8686. Ed Wells in the 360 tweets. Let me be the first to congratulate Russell Wilson on that cute little football contract. Signed, Mike Trout. That cute little football contract is the biggest contract in the NFL. And he deserves it. I'm not saying he's the best player in the NFL, but then the biggest contract and the best player do not come hand in hand. It's about timing and being a great player. He is a great player. And it was his turn. It was his time. Until the next guy. Ryan Hollins is going to join me momentarily. And again, I want to talk more about that matchup last night, the Clippers and Golden State. I'm not going to rush in here and panic and bury Golden State. In fact, I'm not going to rush in here and say anything other than I didn't see anything from them that I haven't already seen before. Yeah, maybe not to the extent of a 31-point lead, which turned into nothing. Maybe not to the extent of them allowing 85 second-half points. But we have seen this before from Golden State. More than once, this is what they do. They're still the team to beat. I think they'll still win that series. But again, give the Clippers some bleeping credit. For real.
Some credit. I mean, for real.
We're joined right now by an NBA analyst, an LA Clippers broadcaster, a 10-year NBA vet, a panelist from my daily TV show back in the day. Ryan Hollins joins us. Ryan, great to have you. How are you?
What's up, brother? It's been a while.
It's been a while, man. What's up? How you doing?
Good, man. Doing good.
Good. Good to have you. Listen, you've been around the game a long, long time as a player and now as an analyst. I know the respect you have for the Clippers and how hard they grind, how hard they battle. But, Ryan, be honest. When Golden State was up 31 with less than 20 minutes to go last night, did you think that game was over?
You know, it's interesting, Jim. I'm always going to, you know, kind of say what should happen out there and what you should see. And to a T, the Clippers were able to execute the game plan going into the fourth quarter. You know, you had to cut that thing to 15, you know, to kind of see hope. And they were down 16. They get a steal and it cuts to 14. I look at Ralph and I said, Ralph, man, there's a chance right here. So, Ralph, the one thing they got to do, they have to get stops and they got to go and score. And when I say we saw that play after play after play after play, it was unreal. So I was really, I mean, fortunate to just watch it unwind. And, you know, as a player, normally if you're down 20, you want to cut it to 10. Well, down 30, your number is 15. And then, like I said, they got under 10. And once you get under 10, I don't know what it is in basketball that – It's under 10. It's obtainable. It's
right.
Always obtainable. And down to the closing seconds, there's still this feel that, okay, we don't have to take these guys serious. Okay, they fought back. Now it's time for Curry to do some Curry magic and Durant. And, you know, Durant had a big-time slam. Clippers answer. Okay, Durant fouls out. Curry comes back and hits an impossible three-point shot. Guess what? Clippers come right back and answer. So what you're seeing right now is there's absolutely no fear of the Warriors, and it starts with Patrick Beverley. And as a guy who played, you know, years in the league, when your point guard stares into the face of one of the greatest scorers to ever play in the NBA at all time and says, I want a piece of you. I own you. I want every bit of that action. The only thing you can do is be inspired. and the rest of the Clippers are literally following suit. Patrick Beverley's the guy on the schoolyard. He finds the biggest kid, and he goes and bops him in the nose. This is what's happening.
Ryan, it is awesome. I love it. I was talking about that matchup before, and it's played out beautifully. You mentioned your thoughts on the matchup, but I've got a question. What do you think that Durant makes of that matchup? Is Pat getting to him?
I'm be honest, man. This is a story that's being told right now, Jim. So I've had a chance to be, you know, a role player on some really good teams alongside Dirk, Garnett, Paul Pierce, Blake and Chris, really good players. You're supposed to protect your stars. And Golden State's not protecting KD. And in fact, Steve Kerr has really kind of put the clamps on KD. Oh, Kevin, you know, be bigger than that. Kevin, be this, be that. Come on, Kevin, use your head. He's censoring Kevin Durant to where Kevin Durant can't really be Kevin Durant. There should be more people running to his aid rather than telling Kevin to just, you know, be quiet and just kind of play basketball. Playoff basketball is full of energy, effort, feelings, emotions. Jim, you've seen it from time in and time out. And Kerr's taking that away from Durant. Now, Kevin did his best last game to be on his best behavior, keep his mouth shut, play basketball. But that's not who KD is. And I can literally see it burning up. And it's funny, you know, the referees kind of, when they both got kicked out, there's this feeling, Jim, that, you know, Patrick Beverley was out of control. Patrick Beverley has been doing that since game one of the NBA season. That's just who he is. He's very cool, calm, and collected, and really embraced. And Kevin Durant's told, hey, man, chill out. So I don't want to speak for that locker room, but I know that instead of coming to the aid of your star, there's a bit of a divide right there that you got to take a look at. And hopefully the Clippers can keep using that to their advantage.
Ryan Hollins joining us. That is really interesting analysis. Ryan, like, so the bottom line, if it were you, do you think KD should stand up for himself? I mean, it's Pat Beverley. He's a guard. Or do you think that Draymond Green should be in there and doing some of that dirty work for him? And what is that divide in that locker room? If you had to guess, how do you think that thing sets up right now? What are these guys thinking?
I mean, look, man, you got to take care of your stars. I know what nobody touching Kevin Garnett without hearing something or feeling something on a rebound or something from us. When nobody touching Blake Griffin, you didn't have to worry about Chris Paul. You'd have, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those guys were free to play basketball. There's mind games beyond the game. You want to allow your stars to be free. When nobody touching Dirk, like, or you had to hear it from everybody. I remember one time I was playing against the Heat, and I kind of chucked LeBron. I got him with a good shot. Do you know the last five possessions down the floor, James Jones tagged me in my back. The very next play, Mike Miller clotheslined me. I was going for a rebound. Udonis Haslam pulled me out the air. You were not allowed to touch LeBron James. And that just was the unwritten rule. That's how you take care of stars. You go back to Michael Jordan. You couldn't touch Jordan, or Rodman was going to do something wild. You know what I'm saying? That's just the unwritten rules. Charles Oakley, obviously, that's why he's so famous. Like, I just you know, with all due respect, and I hope it keeps going the same way, Kevin Durant looks really alone. And then when you don't get back by your coach, you're looking at the other side going, dang, man, that's kind of how I fit. Even as much as we want to scrutinize Oklahoma City, if you had something to say to Durant, dude, you had to worry about Adams. You had to worry about Westbrook, Ibaka. I mean, their whole team was coming at you. It's just a different pedigree, man. You know, we grew up playing ball in the park, you know, kind of hustling for everything, trash talking. And when you strip a player of that, you take away who he is, man. And it's just, I don't know. It's a real interesting dynamic to check out for.
It's Ryan Hollins joining us. It's a really interesting dynamic, a really interesting part of analysis. So how does it play out, Ryan? For instance, Golden State handled their business in game one. They seem to have game two put away. It got away from them. How do you think Golden State shows up in game three?
Here's the reality. I see this thing twofold. Golden State Warriors have been in this situation before. They've been down 3-1 in the playoffs. They've had to go into game sevens on the road, essentially underhanded, injured, a little hobbled, and they've been able to pull it out with a lot less. Now, are we going to cry any tears for a team losing their fifth All-Star? They already have four against a team that literally doesn't have one guy career All-Star appearance. No, nobody is. Not a soul, Jim. Not anybody. Everybody's cheering for David right now rather than Goliath. Now, here's the reality. The Clippers match up extremely well against Golden State. Playoff basketball is always won. Remember me and quote me on this, and I want you to always watch this, Jim. You know this as well as I do. It's about matchups. And right now, the Clippers match up extremely well. There is nobody inside with DeMarcus Cousins going out to stop Montrezl Harrell. There is nobody who can stay in front of Lou Williams. And normally, I mean, honestly, if I had to pick the five best defenders in the league to guard a wing, I would say Golden State has them. But nobody right now has an answer for Golden State. So we'll have to see schematically what Kerr is going to have to do, because right now just playing him straight up one-on-one is not working with his size, his shooting, and his ability to finish in the rim. With Cousins out, dude, remember prior to DeMarcus Cousins coming back from injury, and you can say his minutes haven't been great, but nobody punked Golden State at the rim when he's in there. And they were absolutely atrocious, one of the bottom teams in the league in rebounding and actually paint defense without DeMarcus Cousins. So now they've got to reinvent themselves. I'm intrigued to see what happens. And I get it, their best lineups are small. Looney provides switching and, just diversity and speed to their lineup. But it's something that you can do in spurts. And it's always nice to have Cousins or a guy like that in the background. So we'll see what happens. And now you are heavily, heavily relying on Andrew Bogut. And there's another factor that Damian James Jones was forgive me for messing his name up. This kid goes out with a pectoral pull or a muscle injury. And I would expect him to have been back around playoff time. I had to talk with one of the coaches and said, well, we really don't need him. We're kind of loaded at the five. No, you're not loaded at the shot blocking position anymore. So I want to see the changes that Kerr makes. But if you're the Clippers, you're salivating, Jim.
We're talking to Ryan Hollins. Basketball always has been, always will be a game of matchups. And what I'm hearing from you, and this is obviously true, they match up really well, especially with Cousins going down. An NBA analyst, an LA Clippers broadcaster, a 10-year NBA vet. He was a panelist back in the day on my daily TV show. And that is some great bit of analysis right there. Ryan, nice job. You and I should have come together much sooner once again, and we will do it again soon. Well done, man.
I blame you for that, Jim. Come on, bro.
That is my fault, dude. I'll own that. That's definitely on me. I blame me for that too, Ryan. You be good, man. I'll make it up to you. I'll make up for it now. All right. Talk to you soon, bud. Ryan Hollins joining us. That was great. That was my fault.
I'll make up for it now.
What are you doing tomorrow, big dude? All right. So his thoughts on Golden State. He laid that out very cleanly and very clearly. You do not touch my star. You don't mess with our star. You can't mess with the star. And his feeling is they're messing with Kevin Durant. And that Kevin Durant wants to do something, but is being told, man, don't do it. Don't take the bait. Don't get hooked. Don't let Pat Beverly do that to you, because we know what Pat Beverly does to guys. What are your thoughts? What's your reaction? Do you think this is going to be a long series? Or is that the proverbial wake-up call that Golden State always seems to need? And will they step up and get this thing done? 1-800-63.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network's Inside College Football crew as they dig deep into the upcoming NFL draft. They're going to break down the blue chippers, speculate on the game's new superstars, and it's only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. On top of that, I'll do something similar with Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer is my podcast guest. Jim Rome Podcast. Podcast Tuesday. We will tape that after the program. You want to make sure you look for that. Ep 77 with Trent Dilfer after the program. Trent Dilfer is another guy who's absolutely incredible anecdotally. So I'm really looking forward to that one. Ep 77, Trent Dilfer. That's going to drop a little bit later on today. Make sure you look for that. What are your thoughts on what Ryan Hollins had to say about Kevin Durant? And again, his point being, you take care of your stars. Nobody can touch your superstar. You talk about a guy anecdotally. I thought that Ryan Hollins was so good when he said, I'll give you an example. I caught LeBron James a pretty good shot one night. Next five times up the floor, they were all over me. I'm getting cracked back, clotheslined. You don't do that. It's not even a basketball thing, right? That's a star athlete thing in any sport. You know, you go way back in the day when Wayne Gretzky was with Edmonton, and I understand hockey's kind of a different deal, but there was no way anybody ever got anything near a clear shot on 99. Not with Dave Semenko patrolling, not with Marty McSorley patrolling. Same thing with the Bulls and the Knicks. As long as Oak was around there, you weren't touching any of their star guys, not unless you wanted a piece of Oak. So where does that leave Kevin Durant? I've got a feeling that Steve Kerr had a pretty lengthy conversation with his players prior to this matchup and said, listen, we know Pat Beverly. We know his deal. He's going to try and agitate you. He's going to be extremely physical with you. He's going to try and get under your skin, get inside your head. Do not take the bait. Don't get hooked. You can't get hooked. Don't get hooked. And then when Pat Beverly did what he did to Kevin Durant in game one, you know, Steve Kerr would say, that's not a good trade for us. Losing Kevin Durant for Pat Beverly is not a good trade. So I think that it's in Durant's head. I can't get hooked. I can't get hooked. I can't let this guy do this. He probably would like to defend himself. And then probably somebody else would like to defend him too. But I've got a feeling that Kerr said, man, don't play their game. Don't get hooked by this guy. And I think that's why they're not retaliating. And that works in Pat Beverly's advantage. I mean, this came back from 31 down. They're tied up at one game apiece. He's playing his game. He's doing what he does. Golden State fans, what do you make of that? What do you think of what you just heard? 1-800-636-8686. Right now, this dude here on line one. This dude on line one has got quite a story to tell. Now, before I go to this guy, on episode 75 of the Jim Rome podcast, he set up his own marathon. Remember, Adam Hawk was going to run international marathon. This guy was not going to run a marathon. Well, he was going to run a different kind of marathon. Thomas in Bonanza left me this voicemail that made it to air on Ep 75 of the Jim Rome podcast.
Next message.
Congratulations, Adam Hawk. Way to go, man. Thomas from Bonanza, you finished it, so now we're going to have a bong-a-thon out here in Bonanza. The goal is 44 bong hits in 6 hours and 18 minutes.
Message deleted. Next.
All right, so I didn't save that message. It made it there, but I didn't save it. I didn't give it much thought. Remember, Hawk ran the LA Marathon and did so in 6 hours, 18 minutes. Apparently, Thomas in Bonanza was so motivated and inspired by that, he wanted to run his own marathon. Except it wasn't a marathon, it was a bong-a-thon. And he wanted to see if he could smash out 44 bong hits in that same period of time. Here he is now with a recap, apparently. We go to Bonanza, it's a real place now, Bonanza, Oregon. Thomas in Bonanza. Thomas, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm just recovering. It was tough. Nobody made it. As far as I know, there were several of us. And I don't think anybody made it to 44 bong hits. We were also required to drink a six-pack and 6 shots of whiskey in 6 hours and 18 minutes. I woke up in the barn on a pile of hay, and another couple, I don't even think they're talking to this day. I mean, it was a total disaster. It was the worst idea I think I've ever had.
No, in no way, Thomas. 44 bong hits, 6 beers, and 6 shots of whiskey in 6 hours didn't work out great for everybody?
No, no, it was brutal. Like I said, I woke up in the barn. I mean, I looked over and off my bale of hay, I looked over and there's my pig in her pen, and I got the barn cats. They're all crawling around me wanting to get fed. And yeah, and my girlfriend wasn't even going to let me in the house.
How about that pig? Did that pig have a smile on its face? Never mind. Don't answer that,
yeah,
Thomas.
Oh, yeah, you know that.
Okay.
Sweet, baby.
All right, Thomas, thank you very much. Broham, good luck with it. You heard what that guy just said? So Adam Hawk did a marathon, and we thought that was so awesome. We were so inspired by that. Now, we're not going to actually run. Not at all. Well, we'll run to the bong. Here's what we're going to do. Since Hawk was able to complete a marathon in 6 hours and 18 minutes, we're all going to try to hit the bong 44 times, have a 6-pack of beer, and 6 shots of whiskey. He's like, man, I ended up in the barn on a bale of hay. There was another couple that tried it. They're not even speaking to each other right now. My girlfriend wouldn't let me back into the house. It was the worst idea ever. Right, Tom? That was the worst idea ever. 44 bong. No golden ticket for you. Hawk, pick it up. Dude, it's good to see. Go ahead. It's good to see, Adam, that you've inspired. You've inspired others to get off their ass and make something of themselves. Your marathon inspired that guy and those around him to hit a bong 44 times, slam 6 beers and 6 shots. What do you have to say for yourself, Hawk?
I love that. I love that people can get something different out of what I did on March 24th with Keith Arnold. You know, a lot of people jumped on their stationary bike. They went to the gym that day. They started training for their own marathon. Thomas decided to...
Who did that? Nobody did that.
No, people texted me. They hit me up. You know, then Eric Burns ran 30 on the treadmill. So everyone got a little something different out of it.
Hawk, did you just say Eric Burns then ran 30 on the treadmill?
Well, Burns, he said that himself. You know,
yeah,
he said
not in response to what you did, dummy.
Oh, I thought he did. Well, anyway, Bonanza guy, Thomas, just an all-time voicemailer. For him to go and try to hit the bong 44 times and now people aren't talking to each other and he woke up in a barn with a pig. That's just fantastic. That's exactly why I ran this thing.
Now, you're not going to try and take credit for Jimmy Johnson finishing the marathon in exactly half the time you did because, quote, he knew you were going to run a marathon. You're not going to take credit for that, too, are you?
No, but my take on Jimmy Johnson's training aged horribly. Jimmy Johnson came on the show, and he said to you that he was exhausted from these 20-mile runs, and then I got on afterwards and said, well, that's his fault for gassing out. I'm going to be totally fresh. I finished 6 hours 18. Jimmy Johnson finished 3 hours 9. He clearly had the better training plan.
Yeah, he did. He had a better life plan. In fact, everybody's had a better life plan than you. Did you just say my take aged terribly?
It
Dude,
did.
All your takes age terribly. You yourself are aging terribly. Dude, you look like you've aged 20 years in the last 20 months.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a great day, Adam. Thanks for playing along. Just quit. Or do
Thank
better.
You.
Hawk inspired Thomas and Bonanza. 44 bong hits. How many of you don't have 44 bong hits in your entire life? Many of you. Most of you. My man did or attempted 44 in 6 hours and 18 minutes. That was not a good idea. 1-800-636-8686. All right, coming up next hour, Gerald Willis is an NFL draft prospect. We're trying to get you as many draft prospects as we can prior to the NFL draft. Also next hour, the new head basketball coach at UCLA, Mick Cronin. That's 40 past. I want to go back and talk about what happened last night at Dodger Stadium. Once again, Clayton Kershaw on the bump for the first time this year. Matt Kemp back in town. Alex Wood was back. Kyle Farmer was back. But most of all, Yasiel Puig was back. And Puig went Puig, as only he could. Sixers get up off the mat. They bounce back. Kevin Harlan had himself a night. That recap is coming up a little bit later on. Christian Yelich got nice again. And we'll talk about the NHL. Episode 77 of the Jim Rome Podcast. You definitely want to hear that one. Trent Dilfer reinventing himself. He had some kind of career. And we'll talk about what quarterbacks he likes in this upcoming draft and even next year. Russ has a new contract. All of that coming up. Keep it right here.